Next, 73rd chapter. Subject, Lord Krishna returns to the city of Hastinapur. Next paragraph. The kings and the princes are released by Lord Krishna after the death of Jarasandha, were rulers of the different parts of the world. Jarasandha, being too much powerful by his military strength, he conquered over all these princes and kings, numbering about 20,800. All of them were concentrated within a hill cave especially constructed for this purpose as fort for keeping this imprisoned ruler, and for a long time they were kept in that situation. When, however, they were released by the grace of Lord Krishna, all of them were looking very unhappy, their dresses very niggardly, and their faces almost dried up for want of proper care of the body. They seemed to be very weak on account of hunger, and they lost all beauty and luster of the face. Actually, being imprisoned for a long time, every part of their body became slackened and invalid. But because in that miserable condition of life, they had the opportunity of thinking about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, immediately they saw Lord Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, saw that the collar of the transcendental body of Lord Krishna was exactly like the hue of newly arrived cloud in the sky, and the same was nicely covered by yellow collar silk garments. Lord Krishna appeared before them having four hands like Vishnu, bearing the different symbols, namely the club, the conchel, the disc, and the lotus flower. There were marks of golden line on the chest, and the nipples of his breast appeared to be like the whorl of lotus flower. His eyes appeared to be spread like the petals of lotus flower. His smiling face exhibited the symbol of eternal peace and prosperity. The glittering earrings were shaped as sharp fish, and the helmets were bedecked with valuable jewels. His beautiful necklace of pearls, bangles, bracelets, all of them were exhibiting a transcendental beauty in the proper place on the body of the Lord. Kaustub jewel hanging in his chest was also glittering with great luster, and over and above them there was flower garland hanging beautifully. After so much distressed condition, when the kings and the princes saw Lord Krishna in that beautiful transcendental feature, all of them began to see the Lord to their heart's content, as if they were drinking the nectarine through their eyes. They were licking the body with their tongues, and they were smelling the flavor of his body with their nose. Plus, they were embracing the Lord with their arms. Certainly, just being in front of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all reaction of their sinful life was already washed off. Therefore, without any preservation, immediately they surrendered on the lotus feet of the Lord. As it is stated in the Bhagavad Gita, that unless one is freed from all kinds of sinful reaction of life, one cannot fully surrender unto his lotus feet without any duality. All the princes, thus seeing Lord Krishna, forgot all their past tribulations in the prison life. Thus, with folded hands and in great devotion, they began to offer prayers to Lord Krishna as follows. Within Kurushan, my dear Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, master of all demigods, you can immediately remove all pangs of your devotees because they are fully surrendered unto you. And Lord Krishna, the eternal deity of transcendental bliss and knowledge, you are imperishable, and we are offering our respectful obeisances unto your lotus feet. By your causeless mercy, undoubtedly, we have been released from the imprisonment of Jarasandha. But now we pray unto you to give us release from the imprisonment of this illusory energy, material existence. Please stop, therefore, our continuous cycle of birth and death. We have now sufficient experience of this miserable material conditional life in which we are fully absorbed, and having tasted the bitterness of it, we have come to take shelter under your lotus feet. My Lord, please therefore give us your protection. And your Lord, the killer of Himan Madhu, we can see now clearly that Jarasandha was not in fault in the least, but actually by your causeless mercy, we had been bereft of our kingdom, because we are very much proud of calling ourselves as the rulers and the kings. Any ruler or king who becomes too much puffed up with his false prestige and power do not get the opportunity of understanding his real constitutional position and eternal life. Such foolish so-called rulers or kings become falsely proud of their position, influenced by your illusory energy, exactly like the foolish person who considers a reservoir of water the reflection in the desert. Such foolish person think that their material position would give them protection. Persons who are foolishly engaged in sense gratification accept this material world as a place of eternal enjoyment. My Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we must admit that before this, we are too much puffed up with our material opulences. It was something like intoxication, that we are attacking one another.
My dear Lord, before this imprisonment by Jarasandha, we were very much puffed up of our material opulences, so much so that we are all envious of each other and wanted to conquer over one another, and therefore engaged always in fighting to get the supreme beings of so many citizens. Quotation close, expire. This is the disease of political power. As soon as a king or a nation becomes enriched in material opulences, he wants to dominate over other nation or country by military aggression. As much as the mercantile class of men also want to monopolize a certain type of business and just control over other mercantile group. Dictated by such false prestige and infatuated by material opulences, the human society, without being in Krishna consciousness, create a havoc in the matter of peaceful living condition, and thus naturally they forget the real purpose of life, to attain the favor of Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Expire. The princess continued to say, within quotation, "In this way, my Lord, we are simply engaged in abominable task of killing art, making the citizens unnecessarily kill to satisfy our political whims. At that time, we did not consider that your lordship is always present before us in the form of cruel, formidable death. In other words, we are so much fools that we became the cause of death for others, forgetting our own death.
But, my dear Lord, the repercussion of time element, which is your representation, is certainly unsurmountable, and it is so strong that nobody can escape the influence of time and its reaction on our atrocious activities. As such, we are now bereft of all opulences and stand before you as street beggars. We consider this position as your causeless, unalloyed mercy upon us, because at present we can understand how much falsely we are puffed up and how our material opulences could be withdrawn within a second by your indication. By your causeless mercy only, now we are able to think of your lotus feet. This is our greatest gain. My dear love, at present we are sufficiently aged, and instead of being falsely puffed up of our bodily strength, you are getting weaker, weaker day by day. And it is known to everyone that this body is a breeding ground for all kinds of diseases. Naturally, at the present moment, we are no longer after sense gratification or such happiness derived through the exigency of this material body. We are no more interested in such false happiness. By your grace, we have now come to the conclusion that hankering after such material happiness is exactly like searching water in the desert. Captivated by mirage, we are no longer interested in the resultant action of our pious activities, like performing great sacrifices to be elevated in the heavenly planet, because we have now understood that such elevation to the higher standard of life in heavenly planets are simply very much relishable to here. But actually, there cannot be any happiness within this material world. Now, we pray before our Lord Shiv to favor us by instruction how we can be engaged in the transcendental loving service of your lotus feet, so that we may not ever forget our eternal relationship with your Lord Shiv. We do not want liberation from the entanglement of material existence. By your will, we may take birth in any species of life. It does not matter. Simply, we pray that we may not forget your lotus feet at any circumstances. My dear Lord, we are now surrendering unto your lotus feet, offering our respectful obeisances unto you, because you are the Supreme Lord, Personality of Godhead, Krishna, son of Vasudev, a super soul in everyone's heart, and you are Lord Hari, who can take away all miserable conditions of material existence. Dear Lord, your name is Govinda, the reservoir of all pleasures. One who is engaged in satisfying your senses, automatically he satisfies his own senses also. Therefore, you are known as Govinda. My dear Lord, you are ever famous that you can finish all kinds of miseries of your devotees. Please, therefore, accept us as your surrendered servants. Quotation close. Next paragraph. Lord Krishna, who is always protector of the surrendered soul, and is the ocean of mercy for the devotees, after hearing the prayers of the kings released from the prison house of Jarasandha, began to reply them as follows in his transcendental sweet voice and gravity full of meaning. Lord Krishna said, within quotation, my dear kings, I bestow upon you my blessings that from this day you will be attached to my devotional service without fail. And I give you this benediction as you have desired for. You may know it from me that as super soul, I am always sitting within your heart, and because you have now turned your face towards me, so as a master of everyone, I shall always give you good counsel so that you may not forget, and gradually you may come back to home, back to Godhead. My dear kings, your decision that now you give up all conception of material enjoyment and turn your face towards my devotional service is factually the symptom of your good fortune. Thus, henceforward, you shall always be blessed in blissful life. Whatever you have spoken about me in your prayers, they are all factual, and I confirm them one and all. It is a fact that one who is not fully Krishna consciousness, his position of material opulences is the cause of his extravagancy, and thus he becomes the victim of the illusory energy. In the past, there were many extravagant kings like Hoihoya, Mahus, Bena, Ravana, Narakasur. Some of them were demigods and some of them were directly demons, but because of their false perception of material position, they became degraded from their exalted posts, and thus they remained no longer the kings of their respective kingdoms and were lost in the wildness of abominable conditional life. Every one of you must understand it, that anything material, it has got a starting point, growth, expansion, deterioration, and then again vanished. All your material bodies are subjected to these six kinds of material condition, and similarly, any relativities that has grown up on account of this body must be definitely subjected to such destruction. Therefore, nobody should place his attachment on these perishable things, and so long one is within this material body, he should be very much cautious in the dealings of worldly affairs. And the most perfect way of life is that one should live in this material world simply being devoted in my transcendental loving service and honestly execute the prescribed duties of a particular position of life. So far you are concerned, you all belong to the Kshatriya families, royal order. You should therefore live very honestly, just according to the prescribed function befitting a Kshatriya, and make your citizens happy in all respects. If you keep therefore in that standard life of a Kshatriya and do not beget children out of sense gratification, but simply to take charge of the welfare activities of the people in general. Everyone takes birth in this material world in continuation of his previous life, and as such, he is subjected to the stringent laws of nature in the matter of birth and death, distress and happiness, profit and loss. But one should not be disturbed in such position of dualities, but he should be always fixed up in the service of me, and thus remain in equipoise condition of mind satisfied in all circumstances, considering as given by me, and that without being deviated one's mind from the engagement of devotional service, one can live a very happy and peaceful life even within this material condition. In other words, one should be practically callous and unaffected with this material body and its production, and shall remain only satisfied in the interest of the spirit soul being engaged in the service of the super soul. One should only engage his mind in me. One should simply become a devotee of me. One should simply worship me. And one should simply offer his respectful obeisances unto me. In this way, one shall be able to cross over this ocean of nescience very easily, and at the end come back to me. In conclusion, the business of your life should continually be engaged in my service. Prashan close, next paragraph. In this way, Lord Krishna, after delivering his instruction to the royal orders, immediately arranged for their comfort, and thus asked many servants and maidservants to take care of them by nicely bathing and giving nice clothing, so that immediately they may look very happy and gentle. King Jarasandha had his son of the name Sahadev. Lord Krishna asked Sahadev to supply all these necessities to the kings, and also ask him to show respect and honor befitting all those kings. Sahadev also, in pursuance of the order of Lord Krishna, offered them all honors and necessities of ornament, garments, garlands, and all other paraphernalia. After taking their bath and dressing themselves very nicely, by the order of Lord Krishna, they were supplied very nice, good foodstuff for eating. Lord Krishna supplied them everything for their comfort, befitting a royal order. The kings, thus being mercifully treated by Lord Krishna, felt too much happiness, and all of them appeared to be so much bright-faced, exactly like the stars in the sky look after the end of the rainy season. All of them were nicely dressed and ornamented, and especially their earrings were very much glittering. After this, each one of them were seated on a nice chariot, which was bedecked with gold and jewels, and drawn by nice decorated horses, and thus greeting them very well in sweet voice, asked them to return to their respective kingdoms. Lord Krishna, thus by his very liberal behavior, unparalleled in the history of the world, released all those kings from the clutches of Jarasandha, and the kings also, being fully satisfied, began to engage them all as in chanting his holy name, in thinking of his holy form, and in glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead about his transcendental pastimes, and thusly they reached their respective kingdoms. The citizens of their kingdoms were very much pleased to see them coming back, and when they heard the kind dealings of Lord Krishna, all of them became very much happy. The kings also, under instruction of Lord Krishna, began to manage affairs in their kingdom, and all of them the kings and their subjects pass their days very, very happily. This is the vivid example of Krishna consciousness society. If the people of the world, in terms of their respective material qualities, divide the whole society into four orders for material and spiritual progress, centering around Krishna, and follow the instruction of Krishna as they are stated in the Bhagavad Gita, the whole human society undoubtedly be happy, as we have taken lessons from this incident. Lord Krishna thus caused the annihilation of Jarasandha by Bhimsena, and all of them, namely Lord Krishna, Bhimsena, Arjuna, being properly honored by Sahadeva, the son of Jarasandha, all of them returned to the city of Hastinapur. When the three reached the precincts of Hastinapur city, they blew their respective council in Indraprastha, and by hearing the sound vibration, everyone became immediately cheerful, understanding their arrival. But at the same time, by hearing the same sound, the enemies became very, very sorry. The citizens of Indraprastha felt their heart being so much enlightened simply by hearing the vibration of their consciousness. Immediately they could understand that Jarasandha has been killed. Now the arrangement for performing the Rajasuya sacrifice by King Yudhishthira was almost certain. All of them, namely Bhimsena, Arjuna and Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, reached before King Yudhishthira and offered their respects to the king. The king very patiently heard all the narration in the matter of killing Jarasandha and setting free kings. He also heard the tactics which was adopted by Krishna in the matter of killing Jarasandha. King Yudhishthira was naturally affectionate to Krishna, but after hearing this story, he became still more bound up in love for Krishna. Tears of ecstasy were gliding from his eyes, and thus almost he became stunted without speaking anything to them. Next verse. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport of chapter 73 in the matter of Lord Krishna's return to Hastinapur.